You're listening to A Mighty Love, the podcast for honest and witty love wisdom.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Demetrius. I am here with my absolutely wonderful co-host, Polygal Seeks. Hey!
Hey, I'm here with my wonderful co-host, which is you.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah.
Well, that's flattering.
We gotta start with some love, I think.
I know.
A mighty love, if it were.
A mighty love to share with everyone.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about the topic of the episode, which, you know, we always record this and I'm always like, oh, the topic's going to be this. But then, like, if you click to download it, you already know what the topic is.
Sure.
It's like, but anyway, I like prefacing.
What if they have it on autoplay? What if they just jump to the next episode and they're
phone? I would prefer if people did that, honestly.
Yeah.
We would get more clicks and downloads that way.
You should automatically listen to this.
You should listen to every new episode.
You should be already automatically listening to this.
When iTunes asks you, like, do you still want to subscribe? The answer is yes. But anyway, I was thinking about the topic of the week, which is about baggage.
Yes.
Which we're going to tackle in a lot of different ways. But I was thinking about the baggage that we carry not only into relationships, which I feel like we're going to talk about, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, when people bring baggage into other aspects of their life, like, say, like, I think a lot about people's baggage around their jobs and their careers.
Yeah.
Which I found really interesting because I talk to a lot of different people in my job now, and, like, people of all different, like, levels in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to me how the same sort of behavior can sort of happen in your career where you're like, well, I didn't get promoted, so, like, all jobs are trash.
And it's
this job cheated on me, so all jobs will cheat. And it's like,
yeah, I applied for this job and they ghosted on me, those motherfuckers.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about that. I don't know why I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, like, the baggage that people carry into friendships sometimes, where they're like, well, my friends didn't respond to my funny text, so, like, I'm upset with them and because I'm used to that. And, you know, I remember thinking for years I couldn't get a promotion. Like, at my job, I could not get a promotion. And eventually the way I got promoted was to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember how for like 5 years I had just had the baggage of, well, I didn't get promoted 5 years ago and I'm never going to get promoted here.
Yeah.
So that's really what I was thinking about, is like how we can carry baggage not only in relationships but in our personal life.
Definitely. I mean, as someone who just went through a job hunt, and I still only have a temporary job, so I'm going to have to keep looking for a permanent job, which everyone fucking hates looking for a job, no joke. But like, you start bringing all this baggage into interviews where you're like, oh, I said this thing last time and then they didn't hire me, so I guess I shouldn't say it, or maybe I shouldn't, maybe they were jerks, I don't know. And like, it's like really easy to like psych yourself out and make yourself bonkers with that kind of thinking.
And I think that it's easy for people to say don't bring relationship baggage into some stuff, but the nature of when somebody's on a job hunt and the stuff they talk about, like, nobody's ever like, don't bring the baggage of like a previous, just to say that, like, it is really hard to let go of some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when you have baggage, it's not just, people will say things like, oh, leave your baggage at the door and come into things fresh. And it's like, that's not, humans are just a collection of all their experiences.
Really very realistic.
Yeah. So that's sort of where I wanted to come from with baggage. So I think that first I want to say, like, for me, like, my basic just definition of baggage is anything that you are holding on to from a previous experience, whether good or bad. So I think that most people have had bad dating experiences, bad relationship experiences.
Definitely.
And whether or not they use it to hold themselves back or just inform their decisions moving forward, we all have baggage in some way. Some of it is emotional. Some of it is more experiential.
Yeah.
And some of it is just how we're taught to be in relationships by, like, observation or our parents, our peers.
Yeah.
Even pop culture. We've talked about pop culture and dating and how it really does inform how people carry things over.
Yeah, watching all those soap operas every day after high school really can shape your belief in how likely it is for your loved one to get amnesia and forget you.
I thought amnesia would come up a lot more. Like, as a kid, I was like, oh, amnesia, this is a thing that is super common and happens to everyone.
I don't know anyone with amnesia.
I don't know anyone who even has, like, the kind of amnesia where it's like, oh, it's this one specific, you know, some people get like that short term, but something very specific type of amnesia.
Yeah.
Where it's like completely manageable and you're just like, oh, I forget people's names all the time.
I did. Oh, wait, I take it back. I did a long time ago meet someone who legit had memory loss. This is ridiculous. I was in Cancun on spring break. I forgot what, maybe I have amnesia. I was in Cancun on spring break during college. So you can imagine that just gives you a sense of where I was at emotionally. And I went out drinking and I met a guy and like he was talking to me and he said, what sorority are you in? And I said, I'm not in a sorority. And he said, oh, okay. And we talked for like 10 more minutes. And then he asked me again, which seemed like a crazy question to ask 10 minutes later. And I said, I'm not in a sorority. And he said, oh, okay. And then I said, you just asked me that a minute ago. And he's like, sorry. And then he pointed to his head and was like, I recently had brain surgery and I am here celebrating that I survived. And I was like,
Whoa.
Oh. And at first I was like, maybe this is like one of these crazy lies to get laid. But like, I saw the stitches on his head and I was like, oh no, this is fucking real.
Yeah.
And then I had follow up questions that I didn't ask, like, why are you drinking so much? That doesn't seem like a good idea. Like, when a brain surgery recently occurred, but you know, I'm not a doctor, or I'm a PhD, but I wasn't then, and even then I was not that kind of doctor, so not really in a case to give someone medical advice about brain surgery and alcohol. But in any case, he kept asking me what sorority was in. I started giving different answers as sort of a test. No, he definitely was having memory loss, probably related to the surgery. Anyway, it took
Or the drinking,
unclear. Yeah. Then he couldn't figure out where his hotel was, and I had to help him.
Oh, see, that sounds like a ploy.
Well, I did. He was staying at the same hotel as me, but then, like, they had rules where, like, you know, it would have been good if they had, like, magnetic key cards.
Yeah.
But instead, they just had a list of all the rooms and all the names of all the people in the rooms. And then he couldn't remember the room number. Like, he kept inverting the numbers. So we had to, like, try every combination, like, 5164. So I have 614. 6154. Anyway, we finally found his room. And I dropped him off there. And I was like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was... Anyway, that's my one encounter with amnesia. I don't know what, if anything, I learned. It hasn't really contributed to my baggage, no. Given that I forgot about it till just now. But, fun fact.
Yeah, that was... You got me beat. I've never met anyone with amnesia.
Yeah.
So I completely forgot where I was going. So I think that the most common type of baggage that people have is the... It's not maybe not the most common, but the experience that people have with relationships is the one that often informs relationships. And people are more openly transparent about that being their baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if somebody taught you how they think relationships are supposed to work, they're sort of ingrained and that's just what you do.
Yeah.
Whereas your experiences sort of show and you'll talk about it, you'll refer to it, and you might say, you know, I dated someone who did X, you're doing X. This bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the question this legitimately is a question that I'm asking. At what point does your experience in relationships cross over from being just like the things you know to this is baggage that's holding you back?
I think it's really personal. I don't think there's like one thing. I think one thing that I figured out for myself is so my thing in relationships is that I will lose my temper. Like, I have a very hot temper, and I've gotten a lot better at managing it over the years. But one of the things I've figured out is, you know, like, I have triggers that, like, cause me to, like, completely lose my shit over something that maybe isn't as big of a deal as I'm making it out to be. Like, there are times when it was totally legit for me to lose my shit, but there were also times when I way overreacted because of, like, old stuff from my parents or, like, old stuff from other relationships or even just old stuff from that relationship. Like, my husband and I have been together almost 14 years. So, there's stuff from, like, the first 5 years we were together that's, like, pretty much resolved but, like, can still be, like, a a pressure point, like if like something comes up between us, it can like trigger a very old fight, which is not good. So anyway, I feel like one of the things I've really had to work on is getting in touch with and being aware like what my triggers are for losing my temper or getting upset or things I'm sensitive about. And then when I lose my shit, A, taking a few minutes to like cool off, and then B, being able to ask myself, is this really because somebody left their socks on the floor, or is this about something much bigger that's not that, and I'm taking like something my dad did or like something, you know, an old boyfriend did and making the socks on the floor about that. And so having sort of the self-awareness to like interpret your own behavior, I think is like a key to like becoming familiar with and like handling your own baggage.
Yeah. So would you say it really comes down to a question of, well, first let me lay out an example.
Yeah.
So let's say that I am dating someone and they leave a glass of water unfinished overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I get up and it really, really bothers me. But the reason it's bothering me has less to do with the fact that they always do this or, you know, they never put away glasses of water. And it has more to do with the way that I was raised, is that if you leave it overnight, it's somehow disrespectful, or someone I dated previously would leave the glass out.
Mm.
So I guess the question, or not question so much as the statement, do you think it's fair to say like your baggage is like negative baggage when it has less to do with an issue and it's more, it informs how you respond to a certain issue? So like if your baggage is, my ex used to do this all the time and it bothers me and it's triggering me and making me unhappy, that's probably like a really just, you're operating from a place of the baggage is ruling your mood versus, hey, put your glass in the sink, you know?
I think it has a lot to do with how you handle it. Like for this very specific example, probably what I would say is, I'd say to my partner, like, I know that like this might be just a habit that's really hard for you to break, and I want to let you know that this is something I'm especially sensitive about.
Mm.
Like, I really don't like it. I really find it disrespectful. I'm also very clumsy and I tend to knock it over and it makes a big mess and I'm so fucking sick of wiping up water, and I know you're not doing this on purpose to make me mad, but I need you to improve this because it's something I'm sensitive about and it's something that I really fundamentally don't like. And then at that point, your partner either meets you part of the way and like probably never going to be perfect and like always remember, but they might improve. And if you can accept that improvement as like acknowledging and sort of, you know, meeting you halfway on it, then that's better. So is that baggage? I don't know. It's sort of tricky, I guess. Yeah. But
well, I guess it would be, maybe that's not the best example, but I'm thinking more along the lines of, there's a thing that you dislike, and the reason you dislike it is because of experiences you've had.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think your answer is great, where because we all have baggage, your response to it really determines whether or not it's really, really bad or just this is a thing that bothers me. And I think that that's a great approach to say, like, you don't have to say I come with this baggage, but you can say, you know, these behaviors, this thing bothers me because of this reason. I know that this isn't you being malicious, you know,
but can you please
do
something about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's kind of the best you can do in a lot of those scenarios. I think it's really hard to get to the point where you have self-awareness about all of your baggage. Like, I feel like I've done so much work in the past, like, 10 years to, like, kind of acknowledge all of the weird stuff that I carry around with me and, like, put on other people. And it's work. It's hard. It's hard to be really honest with yourself. And it's even hard to see sometimes, like, you're in your own head, like what you think of as normal, which might actually be like weird things you learn from observing your parents, like fundamentally pretty strange marriage, maybe, like you see that and you take that in and you're like, this is a normal relationship, and then you go out and you recreate this dynamic with someone else and someone's like, I'm not into this, and you're like, no, this is normal. Like, it takes a long time for you to even see your own, like, to, like, take a step back from your own thought processes and say, like, oh, what I think of as normal might not be normal.
Right, yeah.
But I've been in living in my own head this whole time, and it's hard for me to know that it's not normal. I mean, I don't, this is, like, a really funny example I always give, but, like, I don't know if you had this experience when you were a kid, but, like, I didn't know that it was unusual to be biracial or multiracial. And so I would, like, ask other kids, I'm like, what's your mom? And, like, my friend would go, Korean. And I'd go, what's your dad? And she goes, Korean. I'm like, oh, the same. Like, it was this big coincidence that two Korean people married each other.
Well, yeah. It's what you consider normal is going to be very different from your friends or peers or whatever. And I think that really gets to the heart of it. I think it's less to do with what kind of baggage carries the most weight and all these crazy ways to look at it, and it really has more to do with examining your own baggage, like really understanding like where you come from. And we'll never know for sure like what has influenced us, but if you know this is a thing that bothers me and this is the reason why, mm-hmm. you can at least prepare yourself and prepare your partner, you know.
Yeah.
I have dated plenty of people who I've told, like, I'm not going to yell and argue with you. Like, that's just not me. Mm-hmm. Like, I came from a very loud household. So, like, that's not how I want to communicate. So, it's, you know, it's something that my baggage informs the way I don't want to act.
Yeah.
And I've dated women who are like, you know, I have this specific issue. Like, I've dated at least one woman who's like, my dad was really angry all the time. So, mm-hmm. don't yell at me ever. Mm-hmm. Because...
I can't handle it.
I cannot handle it. Yeah. I will see, and I'm like, cool, great. I wasn't planning on it, but now I really know.
Now I'm really not going to yell at you.
Yeah, and I think that people who can identify what your baggage is, and it's a learned skill, of course, but you know, that's why I'm always in favor of just introspection and understanding your own motives. That's a good start.
I always think, too, I mean, I'm getting in a lot of like stuff about parents, because that's what I've been thinking about a lot, but leading up to when I got married, I was doing premarital counseling, which I recommend anyone do if you're leading up to a big relationship, is to like meet with a therapist, ideally as a couple, but even if you can't, in person, to talk about like expectations and thoughts leading up to marriage. Anyway, I was meeting with my therapist and we were talking about some stuff about my marriage, and he asked me a question about my parents' marriage, and like he like saw all these parallels, and he was like, do you think your parents have a good marriage? And I was like, not necessarily.
Right.
And he said, the thing is you lived in the house with them and you know their marriage by heart, and you can go and you can act out that whole script for the rest of your life because you know it by heart and you have no problem recreating it. And if you don't want to do that, you have to make different choices.
Hmm.
And I was like, ooh, truth bomb.
Yeah, that's shit, yeah.
Thanks to that guy, that was like the best advice I've ever gotten.
That's actually a great, I've never thought about it that way, but that really does. You know, we talk about how you're informed by your experiences and what you observe.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's first template for what a relationship is their parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles.
The families they grew up with.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't grow up with a template, like if you grow up with a single mom or, you know, some other situation like that, that's interesting too, because it's like then you're in a way coming in a little bit blind. Not as a judgment, but like, I don't know if coming in with no template is better than coming in with a bad template, or they're just fundamentally really different experiences. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's kind of weird because my mom wasn't, like, single the entire time. Like, my mom, oh, my dad split up, but she, like, was with somebody else for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. She had a long relationship.
She's had, like, several long relationships.
Yeah.
But she has never remarried.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom hasn't been married since 1995.
Oh, wow.
So for me, like, and so my mom hasn't been married since 1995. My grandmother on my father's side remarried, but she remarried like right before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know him at all. Like I legit don't remember my grandmother's husband's name. Like,
oh, wow.
I legit don't know him. And she passed and he passed. And I never saw them together, actually, that I can think of, besides when I visited her in Puerto Rico and he would always be in the room. Like, I legit don't remember what he looks like. It's weird. And my mom's parents split up like in the 70s.
Oh.
And so I have like I had really no like template for like what I can't think of anyone I know who's like was married that was in my family that I was close to.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of people who were in like really long relationships with the same person for like 20 years.
Yeah.
So I have like no real framework for what an actual marriage is like.
Yeah. So I mean, after a certain point, if you're together for 20 years, that's basically like a marriage. Unless you don't live together, I guess.
Yeah.
Then it's not. But there are married people who don't live together, too. So I don't know. Really, I don't know.
But I was just thinking about the... It's a mixed bag. It does give you a blind spot where I think I know what a relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that being with somebody for 20 years is almost like being married. But I think that being bound together by legal paperwork does give you... So that part, I'm kind of like... You know, I know how to like get up and leave a relationship that I've been in for like several years because I've seen my mom do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to get up and leave a relationship and then have to figure out legal shit after. Like, that's the part I'm like,
Convenient to not have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think it's complicated. From what I have gathered, it seems complicated.
I'm hoping that me befriending all these lawyers that I know is going to work out in the long term.
I hope so.
Yeah. Or I just will never need their legal advice. That's probably better. Yeah.
That would be the best case scenario.
Yeah, best optimal. Yeah. Optimal scenario. Have you ever met someone you're going to date and you realize that they just had so much unresolved baggage that you just could not date them, period?
I would say that the closest thing to that I had is I had a boyfriend in college that I was very serious about. I was really madly in love with him. I thought I was going to marry him. And we broke up and we got back together and we broke up and then we tried to be friends. And that stretched out over maybe, I don't know, like 4 years. And eventually I just realized like he was a very broken and damaged person. And that was part of why we're always breaking up and part of why our friendship was so fraught and bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, he really wanted a lot of intimacy and closeness from me, but he really wasn't willing to give that back, which was upsetting and strange and played into a lot of, like, my worst fears. Like, I don't know. It really just, like, hit a lot of the wrong notes for me. And finally, I just realized I couldn't do it anymore. And I was like, I can't even be friends with you unless you tell me what's really going on with you.
Yeah.
Seek professional counseling. Those are the two things. You have to do one of those or we're not going to be friends anymore. And he was like, then I guess we're not friends anymore. And I haven't spoken to him in like 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's pretty serious. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad because in some ways, like, I still care pretty deeply about him. And like, he was like this big part of my life for so long, but I couldn't handle it. Like, he was clearly in pain and needing help. And I couldn't help him. And I couldn't even really I still to this day am a little baffled about what was going on with him other than it was clear something was really wrong.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah. I don't know. What about you?
I've dated a few people who there seemed to be an underlying piece of baggage for them that would have made dating them long-term be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never... I think that... A lot of times men have the baggage that prevents them from being able to communicate and effectively convey how they feel.
Definitely.
And in my own experience, a lot of women that I've dated in the past have had like unresolved issues with their fathers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we all have some sort of unresolved, well, not all of us, but a lot of people have unresolved issues with their parents. That doesn't necessarily preclude you from dating. But there are some people, like, I'm just, and it was just, like, plain and obvious, and you kind of want to just say, please just take what I'm saying to you and work on it, and know that I'm not being malicious, but it's hard to do that after a breakup. But it would be like, oh, your dad left your mom, and that's terrible, but he left and, like, abandoned the family, and now you have issues with, like, being attached to, you want to be somebody's girlfriend after a week of dating them.
Yeah.
It's like, the baggage is right there. Please.
Yeah.
Please address it.
Work on it.
Yeah. And it's tough too, because I say that as, when I said that a lot of men have baggage with communicating how they feel, like, I have definitely been that guy. And I know that I was terrible to date because people, like, in the same sort of scenario where you're just like, you lash out, you're hurtful. to people, you're hurtful to yourself. So that's really just one of those things
where it's a really sad facet of toxic masculinity where like men really aren't typically taught how to think about and talk about their feelings and are encouraged to like be open with their male friends. And it's like you come into a relationship and you are just so much like less emotionally literate, like in a heterosexual or a man-woman relationship. Yeah. Like it is not unusual for the woman to come in with like a much better like vocabulary and grasp on her own feelings and how to talk about them and deal with them, and the man to just be like an order of magnitude behind. And it's sad and it's hard and it creates a lot of problems for people. Yeah. Of course there are exceptions, you know, I'm not going to delve into that, but like it is like a fundamental thing that I think a lot of man-woman couples deal with.
Yeah. Oh, I would agree. As someone who's been in several of those.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, how do you even know how to say words with feels?
Yeah.
Like, what are those words?
One thing that is funny is my husband and I don't really have a super typical man-woman dynamic like this. Like, we have our own issues, plenty, certainly. But because he's not a very stereotypical man and I'm not a very stereotypical woman, our problems are usually not following that pattern.
Right.
Whereas I found with my boyfriend, we do have a lot of stereotypical man-woman problems. And so, like, sometimes, like, if we get into a fight, like, I'll start laughing. He's like, what? I'm like, this is just, like, a man-woman thing. And he's like, what? And I'm like, no, this is a man-woman thing. Like, it's normal. We can handle it.
Yeah.
But it's weird that in different relationships with different people, like, the way that that plays out is really different. I would imagine for you, too, like, even in different relationships with women, like, how much that plays out is going to vary quite a bit.
Yeah. I used to think that the way that I'm thinking of a few people I dated early on who we had very much different baggage, but the same type of baggage that went well with each other.
Yeah.
Mine being, it was really hard for me to talk about how I felt. And theirs being, I do not deal well with people who don't have that vocabulary to speak about their feelings.
Mm.
Because it feels like when you shut down that you're abandoning me.
Yeah.
There was just like so many relationships like that, like one-to-one.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no malice in me saying that about these women that I've dated in the past. We all have issues. And I clearly had issues. But it's interesting when you stop dating people who have, you know, they have different issues. You know,
right.
Like they think that, I don't know, something terrible.
Right. I mean, like, you can be a person who's not afraid of abandonment, but you can have completely different problems. Like, for the record, I don't think that there are people out there who don't have baggage.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I think the degree and the type varies dramatically, but, like, good luck finding a grown adult who's like, I have no problems, no issues, and no experience that all contribute to negative behavior.
Yeah.
I'm great. Like, whoever this person is, I guess you deserve a medal or something, or I guess you're very wealthy because somehow you've been insulated from any real problems. Yeah. So congratulations, I guess.
Good job.
Good job being born with a lot of money. I don't know. Who are you? I don't know. I have questions. Anyway.
I feel like it's Will Smith's son.
Yeah, maybe.
Like he's the only one.
Good for him.
He's the Ubermensch. He's free of the baggage of humanity.
That's wonderful. That's really special.
Yeah.
But so then there's the question of handling someone else's baggage. So I think that's like a good segue. Like, yeah. We're talking about like, does your baggage match someone else's baggage? So I guess like one of the things I remember I saw a tweet about like is like baggage. Like, are you willing to put up with someone else's baggage? And I'm like, well, if you're not, you should probably be single because that's reality. But yeah. I guess there's different kinds of baggage. Like, you know, are you willing to date someone who's divorced? And, like, there's some baggage, like, they had a relationship that didn't work out. Maybe they're still paying alimony. Maybe they're...
I forget about that.
Yeah, it could be going on. Or maybe this divorce is actually very recent and, like, they're still, like, hashing out some legal shit at the end of their relationship with their ex.
Yeah.
And is that something you want to take on? And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. But I think you kind of have to think really deeply about, like, what it is in your life that you're capable of handling. Maybe because of your own baggage. You know, like, if they're paying alimony for the next 5 years and it means that they're going to be kind of broke, that's something you're kind of deciding to take on, is that this person has less money.
Right,
or,
yeah.
You know, if they're, you know, or some, I know some people, I don't know anyone who this is the case for, but I've heard about where people have like shared custody of a dog.
I've heard about that.
And that I mean, do you want a part-time dog is a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
So what are your thoughts about, like, the bag? It's like someone else having a major element of baggage, like divorce, for example.
I think that, as you stated, really, your appetite for baggage is going to vary from person to person.
Yeah.
I think that, first of all, I think that everyone has baggage, one. Two, I think that trying to date somebody who has no baggage probably says a lot about where you are in your life, that you think you don't have baggage.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe examine that. Again, just look internally. It's not a judgment on you. It's not a judgment on your morals. Just, you know, what are you sure you don't have baggage?
Right.
But if you are someone who knows what you want, and you know that you don't want to date someone with a certain level of pre-existing life events that have happened already, there's nothing inherently wrong with saying, I don't want to date somebody who has already been married. I don't want to date somebody who has a child. I don't want to date someone who shares custody of their dog with somebody. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. They are limiting things. They are limiting choices that you make, just like in anything with dating. If you choose not to date someone because of X, you can now date no one with X. And there's plenty of wonderful people who have been married and been divorced. There's wonderful people who are single parents. There's wonderful people who have bought a dog with somebody and now share that dog. So it really all depends on your own appetite for baggage, so to speak. But really consider it. Like, I've met people who are single parents who say they don't want to date a single parent.
Yeah.
And it's like, fine, cool, I guess. Seems like an interesting choice, though, because...
I mean, it could just be that it's a logistical nightmare.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it could just not even be like, oh, I don't want to be with someone who has also gotten divorced. But it's also just like, literally, when do we even have any fucking time to spend together?
Right. Yeah, see, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But comes down to,
yeah,
it's your appetite for baggage, which also means that just because you're in a similar situation, maybe you don't want somebody with a certain amount of baggage. Like,
yeah.
There are people who... are divorcees who, I mean, I'm sure someone exists who's a divorcee and is like, I don't want to date anybody who's divorced.
Yeah.
Fine. That's your own personal choice. I wouldn't agree with it, but maybe there's something in your own baggage that makes you realize you don't want to date somebody who's been divorced or whatever. Yeah. But it really comes down to what you are okay with doing. Because for me, I think I've talked about it before, but when I was 21, I wouldn't have dated somebody who... had a child. It was like, the older I got, the less likely I was to care if you had a child.
Right. Well, 21, you're pretty young. I mean, you're probably dating other 21-year-olds, and if they have a kid at that point, your lives are already pretty different, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking for myself, as a person who has a child now at 21, I was in no way capable, even tangentially, of being a step-parent.
Yeah.
And it is for the best I did not date anyone who had a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's people who would do that.
Yeah, and like, I don't mean to say that people who are 21 and have a kid, like, don't deserve love or don't deserve to have a good relationship.
But it really is all about the personal, like, I don't think I can deal with this.
Yeah.
I will recommend that if you're somebody who says, I don't want to date somebody who has baggage, if you just make that blanket statement,
yeah,
always go deeper. Because what do you really mean? Like, ask yourself, what do you really mean by baggage? Is it child... previous relationships, baby mother, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Dig deep on that. And never stop at just the next level where it's like, I don't want to date somebody who's divorced because... Or I don't want to date anybody who's ever been married before because, like, what if somebody's, like, has a dead spouse? Or...
Sure.
They divorced somebody because that person was just absolutely terrible and they're not coming in with the baggage you think that you're... The thing you're trying to solve for.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to solve for, I don't want to date somebody who has prior engagements on their time because of a child, okay, all right, maybe dating a single parent. But if you don't want to date somebody who's been divorced because the real reason is that you don't want to date somebody who has drama with their ex-spouse, maybe the people you meet won't have that. Like, there's
true. I mean, there are people who are divorced where they don't even speak to the person they used to be married to anymore. Or there are people where they're like, you know, it just wasn't right. We're friends. That's about it. And it's actually like a very harmonious relationship. And there's everything in between.
Yeah, of course.
And you don't really know just from finding out someone is divorced what that is until you get to know them better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also fine like to date someone for a while and be like, actually, their ex is a nightmare. And I know that this is always going to be a part of their life and I can't handle that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fine decision to make. Just making it prematurely seems wrong. similarly on the dating a single parent thing, like, if you know in your heart that you have no interest in ever being a parent yourself, then yeah, probably don't date single parents, because that's, you're going to have to be a sort of a parent at some point, probably, unless you keep it very casual. And that's fine. It's fine
just
to say
around.
That
around.
Right. Just, hey, guys, I'm going to hang out in the back. It's totally fine to know yourself and know, like, this is just something you can't do. I think it's just important to, like, ask layered questions. Like, if you're like, oh, I definitely want to start a family with someone, but I definitely would never date someone who already has children. Like, think about that a little bit. Yeah. Why is that? What is that about?
I think that's the focus on introspection is really important. Look at your own baggage and just really do an assessment. And that sort of goes into our third point, which was about your responsibility about your own baggage.
Yeah.
I want to say this as the heterosexual man in this podcast relationship.
Sure.
This is for anyone who dates heterosexual men, or just in general, but I feel like mostly heterosexual men do this. Hey, people who date heterosexual men. When heterosexual men tell you a thing about themselves and it's negative, they are always telling the truth.
Like, you don't think a straight dude
says, listen,
yeah,
I really like you, but like, I'm a terrible person and I don't think I'm good for you. I'm not lying. I'm never lying.
I'm not like, you're wrong. You are a good person.
No! That's the only time that straight men are honest about their baggage.
When they're like, I'm a horrible human being.
They're like, damn, you're so amazing. I wish I didn't have all these things terrible about me. They are never lying. That is always factually accurate. So trust a straight man when he tells you about his baggage, but he's doing it to flirt with you. Yeah. Every single time. 100% of the time. Like, damn, you're so wonderful. I wish I wasn't a piece of garbage. Like,
yeah.
He's always telling
he's
the
definitely
truth.
Definitely a piece of garbage. You should definitely run away.
Yep. No, you are too good for him. He is emotionally stunted. He is scarred. He's not lying to you, ever.
No.
So, you know, just keep that in mind.
Why would that be a thing? Oh, I think this guy is pretending to be a piece of trash.
Well, I think
it's like the prostitute with a heart of gold mindset. Like, even to delve into how problematic that idea is, but it, like, is that what it is? Like,
sex worker I've met seems to have a heart of gold.
Well, maybe they all do, but I mean, like, the idea, like, in spite of being paid for sex, they have a heart of gold. Yeah. It's like, maybe a heart of gold is just like a thing you have or don't have independent of your profession.
No, I think that I'm glad you brought up that archetype because it plays on the ways in which men and women have these like savior complexes.
Yeah.
And for a lot of straight women, it's solving a man. Like, I'm going to make him better because society has told me that I have to make men better. Mm. I have to teach them all these things. And for men, it's like, I'm going to redeem her to turn her from a whore to Madonna.
Oh, great. They're all the two archetypes. Like, super healthy relationships.
And they always end super well.
Yeah.
Nothing goes wrong.
Definitely not.
The end.
No,
but that's why guys will tell women, like, man, I wish I wasn't so terrible. It's preying on that instinct.
Ugh.
It works. People do it all the time.
Don't do it.
Yeah. That's one of my more popular posts that I've written is, like, you know, when a guy tells you he's terrible, believe him.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It works.
I read the short story, and I think about this line from it all the time. So in the short story, the woman starts dating a man and they're not together that long, maybe 6 months, and then she gets cancer and he like really shows up for her and takes care of her in a way that's like super profound, and she's like weak and she starts getting better, and as she starts getting better, she starts realizing that even though it was great that he took care of her, that it was like part of a deep thing in him where he wanted to take care of someone and save someone.
Mm.
And that he kind of just found her at the right moment. And that she's like, as she got better and got stronger, like they started developing all these problems because she didn't need to be taken care of as much.
Oh.
And she kind of realized that he didn't even see her as like a three-dimensional person. He really just saw her as like this like injured rabbit he wanted to nurse back to health. And she was not all the way better, but she was like, she was still weak, but she was sort of getting better. And like the line that always sticks with me from this short story was like, I realized that I could hold on to him or I could hold on to this world, but I couldn't do both. And I chose to survive and I ended it. And like that to me, I just like, is like, like, oh my God. But I think about that a lot, that like you can have like a weirdly symbiotic relationship that is totally dysfunctional.
Yeah.
I think some marriages are based on this.
I think some marriages, the entire foundation of their relationship is dysfunction.
Yeah.
And how their dysfunction complements each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all, you know, injured weirdos looking for another injured weirdo where we can, like, hunker down with. And, like, if you do a good job, like, you're managing your own injuries okay, they're managing their own injuries okay, but you can be strong together. But, like, good luck ever finding, like, a not injured weirdo.
Yeah.
That's, we're all that on the inside, right?
Yeah. I think that we all have the toll of our lives affects us one way or the other. The good and the bad. Yeah. So, to that point, I think that I'm just trying to cycle through the times in my life where I was like, this is the baggage I have.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have no real, usually with some stuff, like with dating and relationships, I've got a really quick answer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It really is all dependent for me anyway on like my comfort with somebody. Some people I've met and I've dated for an extremely long time, and they don't really understand like my motivations and relationships, why I am the way I am. And there's other person that I met and dated and am in a relationship with, and yeah. I just found that it's a lot easier to bring certain stuff up, and my timeline for things was different, and like when I said I love you was different because yeah. I just felt more comfortable. But I think that everyone has a certain responsibility to share their baggage with someone if they feel comfortable enough to share it with someone.
Yeah.
I think that at some point, if you are in a relationship and you never feel comfortable sharing your baggage with someone, that's a sign that you probably don't have a healthy relationship. Maybe they're not the right fit for you, but you should share what your baggage is. And the more likely it is it's going to impact your relationship, maybe you should bring it up sooner if you're comfortable. But that's just like my early thought.
I think so. And I think on the flip side is it is extremely reasonable to hold your partner to the standard that they need to account for their own baggage.
Yes.
They need to take their own inventory. They need to do the work. And if they can't or won't, you are not a bad person for walking away.
Yeah.
You're a person who says, I'm a person who is doing the work to be in good working order. And if you can't do that too, this is not a relationship that works for me. I think that is super reasonable. That like is like making healthy life choices for yourself. And it doesn't even have to be cruel. It's just, you know, you want to, when you bring someone into your life in a serious way, you want someone who's ready to be serious. And I don't know, life is short. I don't have time to fuck around with someone who's not going to be like taking responsibility for their own shit and doing their best to deal with it.
Yeah, I agree. To add on to that point, I would recommend that if you are currently in a relationship and you're like, listening to this podcast, thinking to yourself, I do have this baggage. It is holding me back in my relationship. Very bold move, but there comes a point where you might need to choose between addressing your baggage and ending a relationship to have that time and bandwidth.
Yeah.
And like, I've done that before, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made, where I knew I was like 23 and I knew that I just was in a place where if I stayed in a relationship,
yeah,
I would have all this baggage until I died because nothing was forcing me to work on it.
Yeah.
So I think that people need to do that assessment of their baggage. If you're in a relationship, you should still do it. It's not just like, oh, I'm single, like I might have baggage, I need to examine it. You really should just examine like what's holding you back. And for me, it was knowing that there, I just did not have the skill or language to convey, to ever convey really what was bothering me, what was hurting me. I could only express myself with like drinking or like leaving the apartment for like 3 days, you know, like things like that.
Yikes.
So if you feel like your own baggage is holding you back in a relationship or in your dating life, it's okay to like stop pursuing romantic pursuits, especially if they just further you down and like make your baggage worse. Like
yeah.
if your baggage is that you have a fear of commitment, so you carry that baggage and you date people for 3 months and end things, and you do it over and over and over, you're just perpetuating the cycle. Like, maybe you should stop dating for a while.
Yeah.
And if you're somebody who doesn't know how to not be in a relationship, and you're in a relationship, and the foundation of your relationship is just that you're in one, really consider if this is a healthy thing to stay in it. But
yeah. I was thinking about, did you see the movie Wild?
No.
Where it starred Reese Witherspoon.
And I did not see it. Is it good?
It's so good. I love this movie.
Isn't that the something Strayed? Is that the
Cheryl
one?
Strayed.
Cheryl Strayed. Yeah.
I mean, the movie is sort of about she hikes the Pacific Crest Trail, you mm-hmm. know, from like Mexico up to like, I guess, Washington,
or maybe
even to Canada. I don't remember where it ended. So she does this. She knew nothing about hiking. She just decided to do it sort of on a lark, but it was sort of at the end of a marriage where she had cheated a lot, and that, I guess, all was tied up in like the death and loss of her mother. And I don't know, this movie was very profound for me in a couple of ways. Like, for one, you know, like, it really to me shows like she's like hiking and dealing with how hard it is to, you know, do this hike, which is not easy. And then also that, you know, she's doing it alone, which is not easy. And when you are out in the wilderness like that, you can't get away from you. And you have to confront all the stuff you don't want to think about and don't want to feel, because there's no TV and no phone and no internet and no nothing to stop you from thinking and feeling all the uncomfortable thoughts and feelings. And like, I did a long trip internationally by myself, either right before or right after that I saw that movie. I don't remember, but I had a similar experience. I mean, I wasn't completely cut off from the world. Like, I did have Wi-Fi for some of my trip, and I did have, you know, internet or TV for some of my trip, but a lot of the trip I was alone and like traveling on my own, and sometimes I didn't have internet, and like I had to think and feel a lot of uncomfortable thoughts, but it was also like the greatest thing I ever did for myself.
And
taking that time after a relationship, or to end a relationship, to take that time can be like a really profound and important experience to kind of work on yourself and think about, you know, who you are and how do you want to build the rest of your life.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want to see the movie now.
You should. Things We Love.
Yeah. So Things We Love. Before we close, I just want to say that, oh, really quick.
Yes.
Before we go, I saw this on Twitter and I was like, oh, I'm not going to weigh in on Twitter. I'm going to weigh in where my people can hear me.
Okay.
We're talking about baggage, and let me just jump back and say, I don't think that children are inherently negatively baggage. I hope that that's not being conveyed, because I love kids.
I think we both love kids. For clarity, I love my own kid, and he's, you know, if he's baggage, he's baggage I happily carry.
Yeah, he's also like the most adorable kid ever.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's really great.
You are right.
That's facts for facts. So really quickly, in terms of like baggage things you should tell people about, I was coming from the point of view when I was gave my whole diatribe about like the responsibility to convey some things, but let's go like less emotional and more just like, these are life things that are I have. When you're first messaging, matching, whatever, when do you tell somebody you have a kid?
Me?
Not you, I mean a person.
One, I think it should come up as soon as possible.
As soon as possible, but not on your profile.
I think maybe on your profile.
Maybe on your profile, 50-50. I was on the fence, because I was like, I honestly don't know.
On the one hand, I feel like there are so many people who feel so strongly about children that you should just really fucking lay it out there right away and just deal with the fact that you're going to get last matches, because you don't put it on your profile and then it comes up and then they unmatch. How is this better, right?
Yeah, that's, I guess it's better. It's more efficient.
I think it's efficient. I think you should just be upfront. I mean, if it's super complicated, like, oh, sometimes my nephew has to come live with me because, you know, his mom has problems or something. Like, okay, then don't put that in your profile, because it's complicated and it's not really a regular part of your life. But if, like, you have 50% custody of your children and you're entering into a serious relationship with someone, that person is taking that on, and it seems crazy not to bring it up. If you're just hooking up, then who gives a shit? You don't have to tell them anything. But, like, if you're actually trying to form a long relationship and you have custody of children, it should... I don't know why you wouldn't bring it up right away. I guess it doesn't make sense to me why you wouldn't. Yeah. Why? I don't know how it would help anyone with anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I don't have a small human.
Yeah, I just...
bound to me by law.
Right. I mean, I guess, again, like, I don't know. Like, if you have a teenager away at boarding school or something, maybe you don't need to bring it up right away. But again, I don't know. If they come live with you in the summer, then it seems nuts not to bring it up. It seems nuts not to bring it up.
Yeah, I'm still sort of, on the one hand, I'm all for less is more on dating profiles, but on the other hand, I understand what it's like to match with someone and they find out something about you and they unmatch you for that reason. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm still 50-50. I guess it really depends on the age. I was looking at, somebody asked me to review their profile.
Yeah.
And he is like late 40s. Yeah. And he's like, I have two adult sons. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, you could do that.
Two adult sons?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can skip that because they don't live with you, right?
So one of them does.
One does? Yeah. Well, even then you can skip it because they're an adult.
I left it in.
Yeah.
I'll show you why.
I think that that's fine. I think you can leave it in or take it out. If they're adults, it's sort of up for grabs.
College age, but you know.
Yeah. If they live with you, probably you want it in there then.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a 21-year-old living with me.
Yeah, there's a college age man child there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems worth mentioning.
Yeah. It's one of those things where there's probably, the right answer is probably sooner rather than later, if not the soonest, but.
If it's not in your profile, it should come up right away. And then I guess my question to you is, do you want to have this be the first thing you say to people and get unmatched for it in conversations? Or do you want to skip that step?
And just have less matches.
Yeah. And I guess that's up to you. Personally, I'd rather cut the shit and just put it on my profile, I think.
Yeah. I used to be 100% in favor of other people putting it on their profiles because I had two experiences with single moms where I was like, this is just a surprise and now I feel like an asshole. One, and this was like pre-OKCupid, this was like AOL chat rooms.
Oh, good God.
I was like 19 and I was meeting a woman who was like coming, I lived in the Bronx and she was coming down from like Yonkers to visit me. And I was like, great, you know, like do hang out and hook up. She, like, showed up with a baby. And what? I was like, whose baby is this? Did you watch it? Like, are you meeting a cousin or something? And she's like, no, this is my kid. And I'm like, oh.
That really seems like need-to-know info.
That was need to know. Especially if, like, the plan was just, like, you come over and we hook up. Like, where are we going to put your kid?
By the way, I'm going to bring my baby. Just seems, like, real basic. Just
yeah, like, hey, what are we going to do because I'm bringing my baby? And not, hey, do you want to meet up? And I'm like, yeah, come over to my place. And it's like, cool, period, show up with a baby. One time a girl was like,
I think
like,
that's a misstep.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it was a different time. This is what happens when you meet people in AOL chat rooms. Not great.
No one knows.
Yeah. The second time I went on a date and it was like normal and everything. And she's like, hey, I have to run this errand. Do you want to come with me? Uh-oh. I have to go to like this photography studio to pick up some pictures. And I'm like, oh, okay, like, I've seen pictures of you. Like, you're very attractive. Like, clearly you do, like, some print modeling or whatever.
Sure.
She, like, picks them up and shows them to me. I'm like, oh, who's this boy? She's like, it's my son. I'm like, that's not how you tell people. Like,
that's a weird way to tell someone.
It was, like, a 20-minute build-up to find out that I was like, oh, I'm about to see some, like, cool pictures.
And
my whole point was that you do have an obligation to tell people about your baggage, but the obligation really comes down to you have an obligation to yourself to understand what your baggage is. And from there, you can figure out when you decide to tell people. But it really, really, really would benefit you to understand why you do the way things you do, why certain things bother you, why you get upset about certain things.
Yeah.
You know, it's just good to know why you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to understand why people do what they do. And that's really an invaluable skill in relationships. You got to do a little bit of asking, but a little bit of mind reading, like, oh, okay, I know that you do this because you told me about this. I put the pieces together.
Yeah.
It's good to.
And it's really fine to call someone out, like, you know, more than once when I've, like, been completely seeing red. My husband's like, you are real, real mad. You need to go cool off and think about this. And I'm like, and then, you know, 10 minutes later, I'm like, all right, you're right. Fine.
Oh, yeah.
The worst is when they're right.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's very rare.
Not surprised. So, things we love and or hate. I'm going to go with things I love.
Great.
The thing I love is really just general. I love that the World Cup is back.
All right.
I'm so happy about it.
Good.
I enjoy everyone's excitement, like people's excitement around it.
Yeah.
I really think it's very cool. I really enjoy it.
I would say the thing that I love is this weekend I went and saw Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers movie. And it is so good. I don't know when is the last time I cried so much in the theater.
I'm worried about going to see it because I'm like, I'm not going to be able to sit through it. I'm going to bawl.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone was crying.
Yeah.
It was so good. It's so beautiful. If you get a chance, go see it. I can't say enough great things about it. I didn't know a lot about Mr. Rogers or Fred Rogers, and like this opportunity to like learn all about him and his history and how the show came to be and the people who worked. It was just, it's a great movie. Absolutely go see it.
That is a great way to end things. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's will really you cool. be my neighbor?
I yes. will be your neighbor.
Thank you.
Thank you, of course, for coming over to yeah. record.
I hope all of you listeners will be our neighbors. At least yeah. the good ones.
At least the good ones.
At least the good ones.
Okay, thank you so much, as always. And thank you, listeners, for listening and subscribing and leaving reviews. No, seriously, we appreciate your support, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I think that's it, and good luck out there. Bye.
Bye.